This is HPR episode 2528 entitled, CCTV with Darknet. It is hosted by Operat Zero R and is about 14 minutes long and carries an explicit flag. The summary is, I got over my current setup for CCTV with Darknet and YOLO.
This episode of HPR is brought to you by archive.org. Support universal access to all knowledge by heading over to archive.org/donate.
Hello, everyone, and this is Operator with another episode of Hacker Public Radio. Today we're going to go over CCT system that I built with a couple of cameras and a power over Ethernet. And this will basically give you alerts on your phone when you're out and inside and do throttling and object recognition and send you alerts. Still waiting on something to do facial recognition properly and easily, and I don't think that's really quite there. There's a lot of work that's into that portion of it. So what I wanted was to detect actual people and actual vehicles. Might be easier actually than faces, believe it or not. So first things first, I had some family members and friends and coworkers looking at this stuff and realized that whatever they had wasn't going to be sufficient. I knew whatever Blinky box I bought wasn't going to be enough for what I wanted to do, and I wouldn't have that customization. So I looked around for some decent cameras, ended up with a Reolink 16 gig onboard SD deal, and I purchased one for the front and one for the back. Now, there are a number of things online you can look at to help you with placement, things like that. What I will say is beware things like high shadow areas where it's in a place where there's a lot of sunlight. So if you get a lot of sunlight, you're going to get potentially big shadows going across and causing motion. And also you want to keep them kind of out of reach, but not too high. So I think that's 9 feet, 8 feet. Anyways, I'll go into the setup. So what you'll end up with is, you know, alerts, proper motion alerts, and proper object recognition alerts. So the first step was obviously setting up the cameras, fishing the wire. I got a 3 foot, I had a 3 foot auger that I actually used to run cable, and we got a little awning that I drilled through, and luckily that was long enough to do some of the work for me. So I ran that and had a power over Ethernet switch. That power over Ethernet switch gave me 8 ports, so I really only needed 2. And power over the Ethernet switch went to my media server, and that media server ran ZoneMinder. And ZoneMinder is pretty much the only thing I was able to find that is still open source and easy to use and easy to configure. There's a couple other ones out there that didn't really have the gusto and the background that ZoneMinder has. It's been around forever. So started with ZoneMinder, started with learning how preclusions work. So for example, if you've got it aimed at the street, the lights will create a delay in which the motion won't be triggered. So if you see lights, then don't trigger motion anywhere else within the zone, right? So that was fairly straightforward. Setting up the sensitivity took a bit of work, understanding how the sensitivity works and the different options for when motion is captured. You'll get things like rain and shadows again, things like spider webs, moths, and different insects flying towards the IR at night and even during the day. So once I kind of got the motion part set up, I in tandem started working with Darknet and YOLO. So the idea here being that these images or a sample of images would run through Darknet and try to do object recognition. So my first attempts were that of getting things like 38% boat. So I quickly realized all I needed to actually filter out is, you know, human and cat and dog and car, right? And maybe a few other things. So with that said, what I'll do later is work on a custom, what they call them weights, I think, kind of profiles to scan against. So instead of scanning for boats during the motion, I'm just going to scan for what I want to scan for, and that will reduce the time. Currently, it's 10 seconds per frame, just about, and I want to reduce that by, you know, reducing the number of things it's actually scanning for. Today, I just grepped out the objects that are what I'm looking for. So regardless of how many objects it detects, it's only searching for, it's only going to trigger an alert for those types of human, dog, cat, person. So the hardest part was getting all this kind of horrible bash scriptiness going. So what happens is I look at the logs inside of ZoneMinder, and I take the logs and look for when an event has been completed and the event ends. And then when that event ends, it will process that folder. Now, initially, I had processed all the images in the folder with Darknet. What I realized pretty quickly is if you've got 8 hours of rain, you're going to go end up back in time in a huge backlog. So every 10 seconds, say you have 50 frames, that's an hour roughly, right? For just an hour, for just 50 seconds of motion, quote unquote, right? So what I ended up doing is sending in a maximum of 5 to, I think, 10 frames per event for the whole event, meaning that if there's a bunch of motion, we're going to send just 5 random frames out of that whole event series and do object recognition on those. So that proved to help with the backlogs and the trying to catch up during rain or big motion events. What I quickly ended up with is the issue of if you're in your front yard playing or playing with the kids or doing some work, right? You're going to end up with multiple alerts and kind of get flooded. Most networks probably will let you do this a little easier, but I had to do some shenanigans with checking the ARP cache on the actual router. And I had a horrible script that logged in, telnets into my router and dumps out the ARP cache. And there's different values for ARP cache to say, basically, if a phone is on the network. So we have 2 Android devices. And if one or more of those Android devices, is on the network, it's going to throttle the alerts to every hour. So it's going to set a timer right when it sends that first alert out, and it's not going to send anything out for another hour after that. So if you're in the front yard doing something, you'll only get one alert every hour at a maximum. So what I didn't want is to turn alerts off, obviously, when I'm home, because that kind of is the interesting about it. So you'll get the mail person will come up, or maybe in-laws will come up, and you'll get an alert about, 20 seconds, if you're lucky, to 10 seconds before they actually get to the door. So that I wanted to keep that part of it. What I didn't want, obviously, is to be flooded while I'm outside and stuff. So it's a bit of a workaround. There might be some other options that I'm not thinking of off the top of my head, but I said, wireless is the easiest way to go for this type of detection, whether or not someone is home. I've got the scripts online. That's pretty much all of it. What I wanted to also mention, I had a big list of everything, but I'll try to add, if I find the list or recreate it, I'll try to add the notes. One of the biggest parts was motion alert smearing. I had some issues with smearing, and I changed the type from remote or the MPEG stream to remote or remote to MPEG stream within ZoneMinder. and that fixed a lot of my smearing issues. Kind of smearing is basically ZoneMinder catching a image between frames, sort of, and you end up with this smeared aspect, which is really bad for ZoneMinder because it thinks that that is an actual motion, right? So I do get a fair amount of errors within my setup, I think, because I'm actually capturing too many frames per second. So that's probably a big reason why I'm getting a bunch of errors and I'm getting that smearing. But I was able to use a different technique, either the remote or the MPEG stream, to reduce the times that smearing happens. Another outcome I realize is that when you're doing the zoning and you're doing the sensitivity, you want to set a zone, monkey with it, you know, make the sensitivity, you know, as high as you can, or when you know it's going to trigger, and then start backing it off and let it sit for a couple of days, right? Let it go through some rain, let it go through some shadows during the daytime, some high sunlight, and you'll get a feel for how that zone is working before you add more zones. The front yard ended up being took longer than it could have because I had to go and troubleshoot, look in the actual logs and see what zones were being triggered for motion and set the alarm zones and the preclusion zones and all that good stuff. Another throttle I mentioned or thought of is probably the whole just fishing aspect of it. I already had fishing tape, but I had a tone generator to help chase wires, but I ended up having to poke more holes in the wires than I should have because the tape was going up, back up the bottom through the middle of the taking a U-turn. So had I run the tone generator in the middle of the wall, I would have known that the thing took a U-turn. So I ended up poking more holes in my walls than I should have. Other than that, other than it all being a bash, the actual email script is in Python. But other than most of it being in bash, it's working great. I've been using it for a while now. Sometimes I've had to restart ZoneMinder for whatever reason. It's crapped out on me. But in general, it's pretty sexy stuff. I think my next steps, obviously, are going to try to be doing face recognition and getting that honed and placing a camera towards the front door. So when somebody approaches the front door, it'll train their face if they're not already in the database. But really, once they're at the door, it kind of defeats the purpose of the whole setup. So another piece I'll say is that a lot of the guidance online says the best thing you can do is actually catch a license plate number. So what I'd like to do is shoot a camera farther down the street, almost in someone else's yard, pointing down the road. So that way I get their tag when they're either driving away or coming to our road. So depending on what side of the road, you're probably going to have a camera aiming both directions. But I'm thinking maybe if I can get one camera aiming, I can hopefully configure that camera for nighttime and hopefully be able to see the plates during the day also, and them not be washed out. They do have plate readers that are fairly expensive. I want to say $400, $300, $500, $600, $800. But what you can do is mess with the exposure times and mess with the lighting of the actual infrared and get that exposure time pretty low and get your plate numbers that way. But during the day is the conundrum. So I do have a bit of work to get the plate stuff to work, and I don't even know if I'm going to go down that road because, I mean, it was just kind of a side project anyways, and it's not like we're in a high crime area that we know of and haven't luckily had any issues with that. But anyways, feel free to check the links out. Give me a heads up. There's not a whole lot of whiz-bang easy stuff out there for this. If you want to start, you can actually start with iSpy. It actually has object recognition built into it. They have a little plugin also that has that object recognition stuff, if you want to just toy around with it. But as far as a whiz-bang, idiot-proof, you know, package that'll do all this object stuff, it's just not there yet. So, anyways, If anybody has any other suggestions or is familiar with object recognition in YOLO and Darknet, please let me know and we can kind of go from there.
You've been listening to Hacker Public Radio at hackerpublicradio.org. We are a community podcast network that releases shows every weekday, Monday through Friday. Today's show, like all our shows, was contributed by an HPR listener like yourself. If you ever thought of recording a podcast, then click on our contribute link to find out how easy it really is. Hacker Public Radio was founded by the Digital Dog Pound and the Infonomicon Computer Club and is part of the Binary Revolution at binrev.com. If you have comments on today's show, please email the host directly, leave a comment on the website, or record a follow-up episode yourself. Unless otherwise stated, today's show is released under a Creative Commons Attribution Share Alike 3.0 license.